Now, today we are going to learn God wants us to be like Him. Because He says, when Jesus Christ comes, we will see Him as He is. And He's going to transform us like He is. But at the beginning, God created man in His own image. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 1 and start reading from verse 26 to 28.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
Okay, now here you see what God's plan was. He says, God said, "Let us make man." Now many people get confused. Some people have the theory He was talking to angels, but the people who say He was talking to angels, those are the people who do not believe in Trinity. Or some of the people who do not believe God has a son. So that's why they said He was talking to angel. But when He said, "Let us make a man," angel has no authority to create. Angel cannot create. Angels are the ministers, or angels are the servants. They cannot create anything. So He was not talking to angels. He was talking to the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. That's why He said, "Let us make a man." So He wanted mankind like Him in His likeness as well as His image. Not only that, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are the one ruling in heaven. So when you say Lord, He is the in charge of everything. And so we call Jesus Christ Lord. So Jesus is the Lord and He's a King. Or here we read that God wanted man to be like Him. And not only that, He is a King, He is a Lord, and then He wanted man have dominion over everything what He created. The birds and all the animals and every creeping things, whatever He created, He wanted man to have authority or dominion over them. That means God said, "You be king here." So that thing we have to keep it in our mind. God never gave up that idea. Even the man committed sin. This was the plan of God. When God created man, somebody might be saying, why He has to create the man in the first time, right? They were angelic beings. And there were so many other angels. And so there was no need of making man. But God created man to teach the lesson to the angels. Or the angels should be seeing what God made and what God has given to mankind, and they will be surprised, because when the angels were created, they were created like outward beauty, and they could do anything. They can disappear, they can appear, they can take the form of something, and they would do those things. But when angel committed sin, fallen from the grace of God, so God didn't say, okay, I'm going to destroy all the angels immediately, and then I'm going to work with whatever the angels I have. God is God. God can do anything. So what He did this time, He did not make the man like angel or give more glory in the beginning, but He created man from the dust. When He created from the dust, angel might be thinking, what God is doing? He just took the mud and made the man, and He breathed on him, and then he became a living soul. And now, God told him, everything is yours, all the kingdom, this is your kingdom, means you are the king of the earth. This is what God promised him, and that's what God's plan was. Then, in this scripture, doesn't say how God made the man. Read the Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
And the Lord God. Now it sounds like if you say Lord is Jesus Christ, God is God the Father. But in the Old Testament, Lord and God they used for God. But in Jewish language, God is called also Elohim, means more than one. So from that, here also God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they all work together. And when he said, breathe on him, the breath of God is like a air or wind. So in the beginning, Son didn't have the body, Father didn't have the body, and Holy Spirit didn't have the body. They have the spiritual body, but we cannot see with our own eyes. But they were like a spirit. One spirit. That's what the Word of God says. One spirit. And so that spirit was breathed into mankind, and the man became living soul. Now here when we say God created man, there was a woman built in man. God knew the woman is in the man. And so when he created both, let's go to the Genesis chapter 5 verse 1 and 2.
This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created.
Did you notice in the verse 1, it says the day he created him. He didn't say day he created them. That means, when God created man, he knew there is a woman in the man. And then the second verse he says, male and female he made them, and the name was the same. Oh, go ahead.
Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created.
So the male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. And when? In the day when they were created. And so, in the eyes of God, the man and a woman was one. Until they committed sin, there was no difference between man and woman. Because the woman knew she came from the man. In our language, we call the man and his wife, in my language, in Sanskrit, he says, Ardhangini means half of the man. So, Ardhangini means half part of man. So, half part of man is woman, half part of man is man, and so all together they were Adam, one person. And so, what happened when they committed sin? Then, God did not name Eve. Adam named Eve because she was the mother of all people. But we are not going there. So here we see right now how God created man and how male and female in the sight of God, they were all one. And that's why we read when we come to Christ, that's the time there is no difference between male and female. Just like when God created before. In Christ only this happens, not any other religion. Okay, now we see, according to the Word of God, man supposed to be like God, be like king like him, but man committed sin. And that's why the man lost his glory. We read it in Romans, book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23, what it says. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That means, if Adam committed sin, he lost the glory of God. And after that, every person came out of Adam, they lost glory of God. And that is because of sin. Now, I want to point out something. The Word of God says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read from verse 20 to 26, and then we'll come back to Genesis again.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Now the last enemy should be destroyed, and that enemy is death. Devil brought the death into this world. Even the millennium, there will be death. People will be dying in millennium. So that means after the millennium, in eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and even the church becomes one again in God. And so here we see, and there is another scripture in 1 Corinthians, the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. When Adam was created, God breathed on him, and that day he became living soul. He got flesh and blood, right? So Adam, even though he did not commit any sin, he was not able to go to heaven. You remember? Why? We never heard anywhere Adam used to go to heaven and have a conference with him and then used to come to earth. But the devil, even though he was fallen, he used to go to heaven and argue with God. But the Adam, even though he did not commit sin, he was not able to go to heaven, because the word of God says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's why Jesus Christ came, died on the cross of Calvary, and he was buried, and he came out of the grave as a new man, as a new Adam. So that's why we got a new life. And that life is incorruptible life in Christ Jesus. That was not in Adam. If that was in Adam, then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, please read. That verse will not be there.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
So here it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. That means this creation was not exist before. Adam was created. He was a living soul. He had the blood and everything. But once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became new creation. We have authority to go to heaven, because our body then is not corruptible anymore. Once you receive Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God in you, Jesus Christ comes and transforms this body. That's why we are new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things became new. This experience Adam didn't have it. We will be coming to that. But why I gave this, I want to show it to you. Somebody will ask you a question and say, Enoch went to heaven, Elijah went to heaven, and they had the same body. Jesus Christ didn't die yet, right? At that particular time. And so they had the incorruptible body. How did they go? And God can put Elijah and Enoch in a place, but they are not inheriting the kingdom of God. You understand? Because the kingdom of God is not started in heaven yet. So even though they are translated, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But once Jesus Christ comes, he is going to transform us like him. That kind of opportunity Elijah and Enoch didn't get yet. Even though we hear about them, let's read a little bit about Enoch and Elijah. Genesis chapter 5, verses 19 to 24.
And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Now here we see his life was short comparing to other people, and God took him. And the only reason here is given, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Only explanation we can have, the world was getting bad. And he was a prophet. He prophesied about Jesus Christ's second coming. So in that time, even though now, first coming somebody prophesied, people didn't believe. He prophesied second coming, means he's coming with the angels and with the armies of God to destroy the enemy. Those things, when he was preaching, people didn't like his preaching. Maybe they wanted to kill him or destroy him. So God took him. Now let's read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6.
By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Now, from these two scriptures or two verses, we know that Enoch had faith, and he pleased God. And without faith, we cannot please God. And when you have faith and you please God, God gives you reward. So his reward is coming, but he got first reward that God didn't want him to see death at that particular time. So God was saving him for the future time. And we will come to that. So here the word of God says, Enoch was walking with God, he was pleasing God, and he was doing everything according to the will of God, and he was a prophet. And that's why God took him. Okay, now there is another man God took, you know, Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. I'm just bringing these two people for some reason. Okay.
And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Now see what happened here? If you read the whole chapter, second chapter, you will know God told Elijah that he is going to take him. So he told this story to his servant Elisha. And Elisha didn't want Elijah to go like that. He said, if you go, I want your double blessing. And so he said, okay, it's very difficult, but if you see me going, you will get it. So in that chapter, you see, wherever Elijah goes, Elijah said, stay here, I want to go to certain place. He said, no, I'll come with you. And wherever Elisha went. And they were not holding hands. They were walking so close, but the fiery chariots came. They were not like a regular horses, but it was like and fire. But it says in those days they didn't know how to describe, because it was moving thing, and so it looked like a chariot, it looked like a fire. And so even though they were close, the fire came so close to them. One person came this way, one person went that way, and Elijah was taken. But God knows how to split them and take one person. So that's what happened here. And so now here we see these two people going up. And some people have theory on this. They will say these people were taken, especially Enoch. They said Enoch was taken. That is the sign or symbolic to the church. The church is going to go to heaven. So the Enoch is symbolic. And so that's why many scholars, Enoch, they keep separately. And they see Revelation 11 starting from verse 3.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will.
Now when you see this description, what these two people will do, all of a sudden some people think Moses did this kind of thing, Elijah did this kind of thing, so these are the two witnesses will be there. And then fourth verse we read, they said these are two olive trees. And so the some people have theory, when you say olive tree, that represent Jewish people or Jewish nation. So it said two olive tree. So these Elijah and Moses, they were Jewish. So those are the two people are coming. And when they read all of these things about them, it comes to their mind, this has to be Elijah and Moses. And then somebody says, what about Enoch? Oh no, Enoch is the like a type of a church. So Enoch went before. He has nothing to do with the Jewish nation. That's what they're teaching, the theory. But their theory is wrong. Why? I'm going to tell you. Book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, please read.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Now, if it says like that, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. When you say man, mankind. Now, each and every person who is born into this world, they have to die. Only person will not die. Jesus Christ says to Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and I am the life. If somebody believed in me and if that person dies, I will raise him up. But if you are alive and you are a believer, you will never die. And some people were in confused. 2,000 years, so many Christian people died. How can Jesus Christ say, if you believe in me, you will never die? So what happens if Jesus comes now? What happens? We don't have to die. Right? We don't have to die because we will be transformed. We will read it later on. So that only true for the Christian believers. We don't have to die. But the Enoch was not a Christian. Elijah was not a Christian. Jesus was not crucified yet, so they have to die. And so, Moses died, right? And if somebody said, oh, we don't find the Moses body. Okay, the Bible says, God said to Joshua, Moses is dead. And another scripture is there, it says, God buried Moses. Now, if Moses is dead, and God buried Moses, and then there is a third scripture, fallen angels were fighting about the Moses' dead body. So now these three scriptures tells us Moses is dead. So now if the Moses is dead, according to that, the man, how many times he has to die? Once. Why Moses has to die twice? So from this, the theory people made that in the tribulation time, Moses and Elijah will come and be witness and die, that theory is wrong. Now, if somebody says, but they're talking about olive tree, then what? Okay, let's think about olive branch or olive leaves. What that olive leaf does. Do you remember after the flood, Noah sent the raven first. Raven didn't come back. He started eating the dead bodies. He didn't come back. He sent another dove, or the pigeon, and there was so much water, could not land, so came back. Then he sent it again, a dove. This time, dove got the olive branch in his mouth and came back. What that olive branch was giving the message, now then you can go out. That means anytime you see olive branch, dove's mouth, good news or message. So when you say two olive trees, they are standing, those olive means those two people has the message from God. They don't have to be Jewish to be bringing the message. If you bring the Moses back again, you don't have to kill Moses back again. Not only that, Moses said already in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he said, God is going to send another prophet just like me. My ministry is over. And if another prophet comes, and if they don't listen to that prophet, and then they will be judged. So Moses is not coming back. His ministry is finished. So if somebody brings Moses and Elijah and try to say, because they are olive tree and they did all this fire and blood and miracles, that has to be Moses and Elijah because Enoch didn't do anything. Moses and Elijah didn't do anything their own. They did by the power of God, right? They didn't have their own power or strength. We didn't know what Enoch did because it's not recorded. But only we know Enoch was a prophet. He was prophesying. He was living holy life. That's why they wanted to kill Enoch. That's why God took him. So the point I made here, Enoch and Elijah went alive to heaven, but they are not right now possessing any kingdom. Go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
That means Enoch and Elijah, their body was corruptible, even though they are transformed, but they are not part of the kingdom of God right now. Because the kingdom of God is not started in heaven. Once this earthly kingdom will be finished, once the millennium will be finished, then we are going to go to kingdom of God. Okay? And when we read church, we just studied Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. The church is called the body of Christ. The Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And all the powers and principality is under the Christ's feet, means under the church feet. The church is very important in the sight of God. So the Old Testament people, they are not a church. They are not body of Christ. So they are not going to sit on the throne of God and rule, just like other people say. And they are not even Aaron's family, they will be not priest again because the priesthood is changed. Now Jesus Christ is the high priest and the church is the priests and kings. So the Old Testament people are moved already from the priesthood. And so from that, I can guarantee you from the word of God, Enoch and Elijah not in the inheriting kingdom of God right now in heaven. They are in some place resting or waiting for their timing. And so what we learning, God has given us something better, but that subject is not today. Today our subject is we will be just like Jesus Christ. That blessings, angel didn't get it, Old Testament didn't get it, only bride is going to get. And that's why I told you why God made the mankind. I said it in the earlier a little bit, because God wanted to show to the angels that God can make man from the dust and give that man inward glory. That glory will be much glorious than anybody else. And so the angels will be looking at and say, wow, what the man got that we didn't get it. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 1, starting from verse 10 to 12.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
See, which things the angel desired to look into. They are saying, wow, look at this. What these people got? We didn't get it. The Old Testament people, they preached, they searched, they didn't get it. He said they were not searching for themselves. What they were doing, they were searching for you and for me. They were trying to tell us what Jesus Christ will do for you when he dies on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his blood, and when he comes out of the grave. That will make you like him, or you will be something special. That blessings, no angel or no Old Testament got it. And this, when you teach this way, some people get confused. They say, oh, Old Testament are the children of God, they're God's people. It says in very simple, they were chosen people, they were God's people. The Word of God said they did not walk according to the Word of God. So God made us something special. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay, when you say, when the people are taking this word, holy nation. Oh, holy nation, they're talking about the Jewish people. In Christ, there is no Jew, no Gentiles, right? We are studying it. So he said, whole Israeli nation, if they come to Christ, or any person comes to Christ, show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is the darkness? Darkness is sinful. When you're living in sinful life or sinful world or sinful activities, Jesus Christ came and died for us. We read in Ephesians, we were just like unsaved people, unbelievers, and lawbreakers, but God had mercy on us, and he sent his son, and he shed his blood, and by the grace of God, we are saved. And that's why we became special people and royal priesthood, because now this royal priesthood is taken away from the children of Israel. They were never called royal priesthood. They were just priests for the Israeli people. But now, this royal priesthood title is given to church. Some people, if they don't understand what I'm trying to say, I'll give the last two verses from the book of Hebrews. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
Now, these, who are these? When you read in the book of Hebrews, these are the faith warriors.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
See, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So we have more blessings. We got a better covenant. We got better promises. They were washed by the blood of bulls and goats. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we cannot say those Old Testament people and we are all one. They cannot be perfected without the bride. When the subject comes, I'll explain to you the difference between Old Testament and New Testament, why we are better than them. John the Baptist says, there is a bride and there is a bridegroom. And I'm just like a friend, listening to bride and bridegroom. And my joy is fulfilled. So what the John the Baptist is saying, I am the friend. Church is the bride. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. But I'm not jealous about why I'm not bride. I'm satisfied that I'm a friend. And Jesus Christ said, John the Baptist is the greatest among all who were born by woman. Means from Abel to the last prophet, John the Baptist. If you count, John the Baptist is greatest. He is greatest than Moses and Elijah and David and Daniel and anybody. He's the greatest. If the greatest man, Jesus Christ said, least in the kingdom of God, he is greater than the John the Baptist. And that proves here. Because even though he was a great man, but if there is somebody least in the kingdom of God, that person can be greater than the John the Baptist. So they cannot be greater than the bride. That's the point I'm making. And if the John the Baptist is the greatest man ever lived on earth, and he is called friend, then all other prophets comes in the friends category. So all the Old Testament people can be friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. In the beginning, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I call you friend. But that time Jesus was not crucified. After Jesus crucified, now the title changed. Because now, by the Holy Spirit, apostles and prophets, when they start teaching, we are the bride of Christ. Jesus never taught somebody, you will be my bride. After Jesus died and he went to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit, then by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit gave the teaching to the apostles and prophets and said, now we are the bride of Christ. So the bride of Christ is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And so we have more blessings than the Old Testament saints and angels. How do you know? Go to the Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Are they not all ministering spirits? Who are they all? They are talking about angels. The angels are called ministering spirit. When you say ministering, it's serving. So all angels are the ministers, or the messengers, or the helpers. And they are all sent forth to minister for them. Who? Who shall be heirs of salvation. That means if you get saved, God sends angel to minister to you. In the olden time, people were worshipping angels. But now, we don't have to worship angels. Angels are our servants. When you say servant, people say, you don't call angel your servant. He says, minister is a servant. When you say minister, pastor is a minister, means he's a servant. So the angels are ministering spirits. They take the form of body, but they can minister to you and you don't see them, but you driving the car and some person try to hit you, they might push the car away and you don't see them, but they are ministering to you because you are born again. So once you are born again, God sends angel to minister to you. So that makes us greater than angel. Who is greater, the master or the servant? We became like a higher authority than angels. That's why they come to serve you. From these verses, I prove it to you, God made man from the dust, but he gave the man higher authority than the Old Testament people, than the angels. So the bride of Christ is greater than angels and the Old Testament people. So now, let's go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We don't have much time now, but we are just going to read some 15, starting from verse 45.
So it is written, first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
See now the difference? The first Adam was not perfect. First Adam was already flesh and blood and was not able to inherit the kingdom of God. But the second Adam, which is the spirit. See, here he says, the first one was not spiritual. That means he was a natural person. He was able to commit sin. But when you are in the spirit and live in the spirit, you cannot commit sin. That's what the word of God says. When you have seed of God in you, if you are born again child of God, you cannot commit sin. Somebody says, but I'm born again and I'm committing sin because you live in flesh. But once you are in the spirit cannot commit sin. The spirit is eternal. So Jesus Christ came as the spirit being, but he took a form of man. But he, in the beginning or from the eternity, he's a spirit person. Also, he came and took a form of man. Okay.
The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Okay. Now, first man is the first Adam made from the dust. The second man, second Adam, Jesus Christ, came from heaven. So why he's comparing this, he's going to try to tell us, don't think that first Adam was a good man and I like to be like Adam. Now see, many people making mistakes, some of the preacher make a mistake. They said, if Adam didn't commit sin, we will be in better place. Or we will be like him. That was not the plan of God. Adam was not perfect. If Adam was perfect, then there was no reason to have testing. Testing is kept to people to make them perfect. Okay, 48.
As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Now here he says, even though the Adam was created and he had the image of God, and he had the likeness of God, but that was still say he had the earthly body. So that was not the perfect image. So he said, ye shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So when Jesus Christ came and we will be like him, that is not like we will be like Adam, like we were before. Because what happened here, when Adam committed sin, Adam lost the glory of God, so God did not throw Adam into hell right away. What God did, go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 18 and start reading first few verses.
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make.
Okay, now here is the Adam was made out of clay. Our God is a potter. The Adam was made out of the clay. And what happened? The Adam committed sin. That means that pot was what? Marred. Means disfigured. He took the same clay. And Jesus Christ took the same body as Adam, like a clay body. But difference was, he was made from earth. And now, Jesus Christ comes from heaven and take the earthly body. Why? He said, because you had the earthly image, now you're going to have heavenly image. So what happened? God made the man from the dust, and the man committed sin. And that the vessels was deformed. So that vessel he broke, where? On the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, means he took the clay and said, okay, that vessel was not good, let me make another vessel. And when Jesus Christ was crucified, was buried, came out of the grave like a new vessel, means new Adam. That's why he says second Adam. So he came as a perfect man and perfect God. And so that's why when he came back again, that's why the word of God says we got the hope of resurrection. If he didn't come out of the grave, we will be miserable. So now, because he came out of the grave, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, we got lively hope. Because now we are going to be like him. I'm going to finish here. And next week, God willing, we'll go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we will start the verses we didn't finish and then finish this. Maybe we will be able to finish this next week because the time is up. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand your will. We were just made out of the clay. But now you have made us beautiful vessel, the glorious vessel. And when you come, you are going to make us just like you. Give us grace, Lord Jesus, to understand the deep things of God. We are not ordinary people. You shed your precious blood. You redeemed us. You came out of the grave and you gave us the new lively hope, hope of resurrection. So we are going to be like you. Give us grace to purify us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.